Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. We didn't need that music anyway. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you all again for being here this morning. Thank you for standing today. I want to draw your attention to the book of St. John, chapter number 20. The book of St. John, chapter number 20. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Amen. This is a passage of scripture that I have preached from occasionally, a few times here as of late. But I'll draw your attention back to these verses again. Verses number 1 through 4. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. I want to deliver something to you that, again, has been burning in my spirit for the last few weeks. And I feel a very much of an assurance today that this is the time and the place to minister this particular message that God has put in my spirit to preach. And I have told our Kids Central, and I wish to tell our young people as well, that I hope that you give me your undivided attention today, because I hope to minister today to the Central Church, not only to our present, but for our present, preparing for our future. And I hope you engage with the Word of God today. I hope that you'll open up your mind and your heart and your spirit for the preaching of God's Word. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. In Luke chapter number 19, we are introduced to a particular individual. His name is Zacchaeus. There was an interest that Zacchaeus had because he heard of a man that was passing through Jericho. And he decided he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. Zacchaeus was not a popular individual among the Israelites because he was one that was responsible for collecting taxes for the Roman government. And as such was the custom in his day, those like him would not only collect the taxes for the Roman government, but would also add on a little bit more for their own expenditures and for their own pleasures, which, as you can imagine, found no pleasure with the Israelites. The Bible said that he was rich, much like a lot of Washington politicians. But I'll move on. And the Bible said that there was something that would be a hindrance for him to see Jesus in the manner that he wanted to see him in. And that was, the Bible said, he was little of stature. And so the Bible lets us know the plan of Zacchaeus, that he ran before the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 4 of Luke chapter number 19, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus, being not a dumb man, but being an intelligent man, a planner, if you will, decided, I'm going to devise a plan that, since I'm, because of my stature, and I could not see him in the manner that I would like to see him on ground level, I'll go before him And I'll climb into a tree so that I can see him in the manner that I would like to see him in. Although Zacchaeus at this time was an ungodly man, I do like his mindset, because again, the Bible lets us know that he outran Jesus. You see, Zacchaeus, he saw the direction in which Jesus was going in. He studied Jesus' path of travel and decided, because of his physical limitations, he would go before the crowd and position himself so that he could see Jesus. In other words, Zacchaeus prepared in faith for what he knew was coming. His preparation, the Bible said, led to Jesus abiding in his house. I say that to say this. I pray that Jesus gives us direction, sight, and insight to see where he is moving, and that we as a body of believers would prepare in faith for what is to come in this hour in which we live. Because Zacchaeus again studied the direction of Jesus. He's traveling this path. He's going to travel down this road. Therefore, I'll properly position myself because I know he's coming this way. I've looked in the future. I've looked in the sight of what is before me, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt this is his direction of travel. And if I want to see him, I'm going to position myself in a manner so that I can see him. Oh, I pray today that you and I alike today would position ourselves as a church and realize there is something supernatural that God wants to do in this church and in his church. And that in order for us to see what God desires to do, we must make up in our mind, I'm going to study his way and his direction, and I'm going to properly position myself so that I can align myself to see him in the manner that I would like to see him. I pray today that God would open up the leadership's mind of this church. I pray that God would open up the mind and the eyes of ministry in this church. I have prayed that God would open up my eyes and let me see, God, which way are you going? What is it that you desire to do? What are your plans for the coming weeks and days and months and years? Because whatever it is that you're doing and whatever direction of travel that you're going in, I want to make sure I get before the crowd. I want to get before any distraction that would try to stop me from getting to see Jesus. And I would position myself in a manner saying, I know he's coming this way because he's given me the insight of the direction of his travel. There's no way right now, and I don't believe that we have full understanding of what God plans to do in this hour that we live in. But I do believe that some are more knowledgeable than others because of their connection with God, because of their life of prayer. There were things that Jesus shared with some disciples that he did not share with other disciples. Oh, that I could be that one that would put my head on the chest of Jesus and say, Lord, would you tell me things that you're not telling anybody else? I want to know the motive direction of travel that Jesus is going in. I want to know in advance what God plans to do so that as this pastor of this church, I can try to move this church in the right direction, knowing that God has spoke to me. This is what he's going to do. This is his plan. This is how he's going to work, and that I can position this church by the help of the Holy Ghost in a manner that we can see Jesus work in a way that we've never seen him work in before. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I pray today that we would be people of vision. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. I pray today that we would be people of vision. I don't want to just see what is just before me. I want God to give me insight to see what is not just before me, but what lies maybe a year down the road. You see, I've heard stories of ministers and churches deciding to sell their facilities. And that's not a plan. I'm just giving you an excuse. But selling their facilities to buy a piece of property that doesn't make sense to them, but they just feel nudged of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Or not to sell their church, but to buy a piece of land. And little did they know, in the coming years, within 2 or 3 or 5 years, amen, the construction that would be going on and how vital and useful that piece of property would become. And they could either sell it and make a lot of money or either build a church there. Why? It was because men and women of God decided, I'm not just going to look at what is right before me. I want God to give me vision for the future. I don't want the people perishing because of my or your lack of vision. I pray, God, open up our eyes and let us see and give us a mouth to speak the mind and the plan of God. Amen. In John chapter number 20. Amen. In John chapter number 20. Praise God. The Bible lets us know this is after his death, his burial. Amen. And it has come to the time of his resurrection. Mary and a few of the ladies had gone to the tomb early that morning to pay their respects, only to find the stone rolled away and him not in the tomb. They rush back into town. Mary finds Simon Peter and John and tells them the story of what they have seen and witnessed that morning. Without haste, the Bible lets us know that Peter, amen, and John hastily went to the place of Jesus' burial. And as we mentioned in the scriptures, the Bible lets us know that John did outrun Simon Peter. I don't know if I told you this at the beginning of the message today, but the title of my message is Outrun Me. And that is exactly what John did. He outran Simon Peter to get to the place of where Jesus was buried. A few things of significance that I studied yesterday. I thought to myself, how is it and why is it that John outran Simon Peter? Was it just because he was more fleet on his feet? Was it he was just born a natural runner? Or naturally more fast than Simon Peter? But what I found was this, is that Simon Peter, by all accounts, was more than likely the very oldest of Jesus' 12 disciples. As a matter of fact, we know that when he became a disciple, Simon Peter was already married because he asked Jesus to come pray for his sickly mother-in-law. And so we know Simon Peter was the oldest of the disciples. But what about this man by the name of John? Most historians and scholars of the scripture will tell you that John was one of, if not the youngest of the disciples. They believe that Simon Peter was at least in his 20s and very possibly maybe in his 30s. But notice what they say and speculate the age of John the Beloved. John the Beloved, they say, speculate, not only was he probably the youngest of the disciples, but his age very possibly could have been around the age of 13 years old. Now, I've got to be honest, before I read this yesterday, I never envisioned any of Jesus' disciples being a teenager. And the more than likely, many of them were. Never in my wildest imagination did I see John at the young, tender age of possibly 13 years old. But they say very possibly he was that young. You notice the difference between Simon Peter and John. 20 to 30 years old, and then John being possibly 13 years of age. They were from different generations, but seeking after the same God. Both were rushing to see the prophetic words fulfilled that they did not understand even at the time. I've come to tell this church today that we should not attempt to hold our youth and their enthusiasm and the desire and their hunger for God back. I think with all of our heart, we should encourage and support them in their efforts for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Our Kids Central ought to know, amen, they ought to feel comfortable with raising their hands and lifting their hands and jumping up and down. Our toddlers, even those that are not in the age of Kids Central yet, they ought to feel comfortable. And I understand at ages they do it for fun, or they do it because mom and dad or other people do it. Amen. Occasionally we'll see our kids jumping up and down, and I know that a lot of times they're doing it because of what they've seen. But can I tell you something? When we see our kids worshiping in their limited knowledge, amen, when we see them clapping their hands or jumping up and down, we should never stop that. We should encourage that. Come on, baby, keep raising your hands. Come on, baby, keep dancing before the Lord. Come on, baby, keep jumping up and down. Come on, Kids Central, lift your voice and sing and shout for God. They should never be the silent ones of the church. They should be one of the loudest ones in the church. Come on, young people. Don't ever hold back your worship. Don't ever hold back your praise. And definitely don't ever hold back your prayer. Lift your voice and cry out to God. And do not be ashamed to do so. Different generations between Simon Peter and John. Because you see, even at the time of Jesus' resurrection, they did not fully understand. It wasn't until right before his ascension that the Bible said that then he opened their understanding. Hey man, what is that talking about? All the things that Jesus had told them. He had even tried to pre-warn them about this temple's going to be tore down, but in 3 days I'm going to raise it back up. And he tried to forewarn them about his death, but they did not understand it. But at this moment, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then opened he their understanding to prophetic words that were spoken by prophets of days gone by. Then they begin to understand the scripture a lot more clearer. So when they both ran, amen, to see things that they did not fully understand. That's why I tell this church, let our young people dream big dreams. Let our kids dream big dreams. Let them see things that you and I right now are not able to see. And let's not quench their fire, their hunger, and their desire to see God work. I've come to tell our Kids Central, I want you to outrun me. I'm trying to get there. I want to see things that I've never seen before, but you may beat me there. And if you do, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be upset. I just want us to see it and experience it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help me to preach this word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We need elders who have understanding of the times, but youth to see further than what we elders are able to see. The Bible lets us know that Elijah prophesied and prayed for the rain. Amen. He said it was going to dry up. He said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. 3.5 years after he spoke that, he said, you better come down off the mountain, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. What did he do after he prophesied the coming rain? The Bible said he went and prayed for the coming rain. But as he was prophesying, or as he was praying, he commissioned his younger servant to be his eyes to see it. I'm going to pray. You go look for it and come back and tell me what you see. The first several times the servant came back and said, I don't see it. But there came a time he came back with the report, I see the cloud as the size of a man's hand. Amen. The man of God was praying, but the servant was looking. The servant was the eyes of the man of God's. I've come to tell our young people, dream, dream, dream about what God can do in your life. Dream about what God can do in this church. Dream about what God can do in the future of this church. Dream. Dream. It's so often, especially here as of late, hey man, and understand what I say today, the founder of this church often will ask me, how's the church doing? Do you have a good crowd? Knowing he was just a few days ago in the service, that lets me know that in his stage of life, there is still something burning in his heart about the well-being of this church. I'm so thankful today that when God blessed me to be your pastor over 18 years ago, his response was, well, I don't want you ever getting the church bigger than what I pastored it. I'm glad his response was, I hope that you never exceed more than what I was able to exceed as pastor. Amen. Some of the largest moments of this church was probably, they ran around 120 people faithfully. Amen. Maybe a little bit more. We're not there yet, but we will be. But I am so thankful that his passion and his desire, even to this day, with the knowledge that he has, is let the God work of God go forward. It is in his heart's desire, even though he may not be able to express it, it is in his heart's desire. I want to see the local church grow and expand. I've come to tell this church today, and listen to me, I'm not going anywhere soon. I still got a lot of years left in me as pastoring, God being my helper. Amen. But I understand, Brother Rick, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not an old man right now, but I am 54 years of age, and I am at the stage of life where I realize I may have 10 or maybe 15 years at the most left of pastoring. Hallelujah. And I'm trying to get things in order. I want my retirement to be in order so that I'm not a burden to the church. And I'm trying to get all that together. I'm trying to plan ahead and think ahead. But oh, I want you to know today, amen, that when I walk off the scene as the pastor of this church, I want it to be bigger than it's ever been. I want it to flourish. I want it to prosper. I want your kids to grow up in this church, sitting on these pews, raising their families in the house of God. But I don't want them to become my age before they see it. I want them to see it now. Colby, I'm not asking you a question for you to give a response right now, but a question for you to ponder. What do you see for this church? What dream do you have for this church? Mikey, what dream do you have at this church? I know you're, how old are you now, Mikey? 9 years old. You're not too young, son. Dream about this church. There's going to come a day that if God tarries is coming, hey man, you're going to get married. I want you to raise your wife. I want you to marry in the church. I want you to raise your kids in the church. And if God tarries is coming, I want you to raise your grandkids in this church. But I want you to start dreaming about that. I want you to start thinking about others, that kids that are younger than them, hey man, that I could ask them, but it wouldn't make sense to them. But I want to preach it right now into their spirit, though they may not understand it right now. I want to lay a foundation for the future of this church, and not just preach to our present. I want to preach to our future. Hallelujah. I want them to have eyes to see. I want them to have God-sized dreams and visions for what God wants to do in this city and in this county. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph had a dream that seemed too big for his family. You mean to tell me I'm going to bow down and worship you? You've lost your mind. You haven't dreamed. You have gone off into crazy land. And so the dream that God gave Joseph was too big for his family. But I submit to you again today, we need God dreams and visions that don't always make sense to others or to ourselves. I'm going to say that again, that we need God at dreams and visions that do not always make sense to others, and they do not always make sense to ourselves. Abraham, what's your name? Father of many nations. How many kids you got? Well, in the eyes of God, really none. You're not a young man now, Abraham. You're well up into age, beyond the age of naturally being able to produce children. I know that. But everywhere Abraham went when God changed his name, even though, again, I know we said his son Isaac, but in the eyes of God, or he had his son Ishmael, but in the eyes of God, you understand, but every time he spoke his name, I'm father of many nations. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know that could never happen? I pray today that something would get inside the heart of our young people. I pray today that something would get inside of our Kids Central and our toddlers, that they stand on a word from God and say, I know it may look too big for you, and if I try to rationalize it, it looks too big for me, but I know a God that's able. I know a God that is not too big and far-fetched for him. You see, some dreams are meant to be dreamed without its completion by the dreamer. In other words, there's some dreams that we may dream that we'll never see the completion of it. But in cases like that, the dream needs to be passed on for the next generation to pick up and to complete. I may not see everything God promises me or dreams that I have for this church. My mom and my dad may never live long enough to see all the things that they wanted to see fulfilled in this church, and they came here with a vision. But I'm going to tell you something. That dream was not kept to themselves. The dream was passed on to others that they pastored. And the dream was passed on to me. And now I want to make sure I'm doing my best to pass the dream on to the generations that are following after me. His name is John Roebeling. He was, in the 1800s, a civil engineer who, although successful in his field of labor, had a passion to accomplish more than what he was doing. And he became very wealthy by the twisted metal, I guess you could say, metal ropes, if you will. That one day, though, that successful adventure would cause him to do things that seemed to be impossible. Because one day, as he was stuck in the East River on a ferry between Brooklyn and Manhattan, John Roebeling decided, I'm going to do something about this. I'm tired of traveling in this ferry and the ice preventing us, or weather stopping us, or some other thing that's causing a hindrance to get from Brooklyn to Manhattan, because Manhattan was always already a thriving place financially, but Brooklyn was not. Brooklyn was more still the farmland, or where people would ferry back and forth to work, and the less fortunate, maybe you could say. But John Roebeling, he decided to put forth his efforts and engineering to build a bridge connecting the two bodies of land. John Roebeling took the time to draw up the necessary plans to build a suspension bridge that most thought was absolutely impossible. When he began to share his dreams and his visions and his plans with others, They said that'll never happen. Because his plan at the time, it would have been to build the longest suspension bridge ever known at that time. And they said it could never happen. In the same year that the Brooklyn Bridge began construction, after the years of planning and preparation, in 1869, the man behind the vision unexpectedly died. What would happen with the building of the bridge? Would it just die with his vision? Would it just die with his plans? Would it die just with those things that he had orchestrated? No. You see, when his son Washington was about 17 years old, John took his son Washington under his arm and began to invest in him his dream and his plans and his vision. And so when the father passed away, the dream didn't pass away. The vision didn't pass away, because his son Washington took over overseeing the building of the Brooklyn Bridge. Yes, there came a time that Washington became unhealthy and he was not able to go to the actual building of the site building any longer while it was being built because of the condition of his health. But you know what he had done? He had passed his vision on to his wife, Emily. The vision was eventually completed in 1883. After years of planning and preparation, the bridge was complete. But it all started with one man who had a dream that was bigger than everybody else's dream, who had a vision that was bigger than anybody else's vision. While others said it couldn't happen and laughed at him and scoffed at him and said it's no way possible, this man held on to his dream and vision. And when he died, and though he was never able to see the completion of the bridge, he had thankfully passed his dream and his vision to the next generation, and he and his wife were able to continue to see the completion of it. You see, David had the dream to build God a house, but the Bible said there was too much bloodshed, and God told David, you'll never see the completion of the building of the house. David, as much as you desire it, you're dreaming things that you'll never see come to pass, but you have dreamed it. You have planned it. You have orchestrated it. And you're going to pass the vision and the dream down to your son. But you're not going to sit idly by. You're going to prepare for the future. You're going to get things in order. You're going to trade. You're going to bargain. You're going to talk to other countries for supplies that they have. And you're going to get everything ready so when it comes time to build, Solomon will have everything needed and ready to build the temple. Although you dream it, David, you're not going to see it. Oh, God. I know that's difficult for some of us to face and to take. You mean to tell me there's things that I hope to see that I may never see? I want to tell you the reality. There are things, very possibly, if you're a dreamer, you may never see the completion of it. But we still got to have dreamers. And we still got to have those that are saying, I'm not keeping the dream to myself. I'm going to pass it to the next generation. I pray I see things as a pastor of this church that my mom and dad only dreamed about seeing. But I've come to tell you, I hope the generations to come will see the fulfillment of dreams and visions that I only saw but was never able to see fulfilled in my life. Oh, God, give us visionaries. Give us dreamers. And can I tell to the future pastor of this church, whoever you might be, when I walk off the scene, outrun me. Do better than I've done. I tell the youth and the kids of this church, outrun those that were one day youth in our church. Outrun them. Outpace them. Don't be satisfied with just being what they were. Don't be satisfied with that. We're going to pass the baton to the next generation. And again, I'm not going anywhere soon. But I don't want to wait 6 months before God decides to remove me off the scene and to put the baton in somebody else's hand for me to prepare the future. I want you to dream things you've never dreamed before. I want you to outrun me. You're going to get there before I will. You may reach things and see things that I'll never get to see. But brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be angry at God. I'm not going to be angry at our kids. I'm going to rejoice that the work of God has gone on and going forward. You see, not every person of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 saw the fulfillment of what they could only see in faith. Some having died, not receiving the promise, but they saw it in faith. It's coming. It's going to happen. And I may not be here to see it, but it's going to happen. Oh, young people, kids, you're going to look back one of these days, I hope. And I know you think I'm an old man now, but I'm really not, trust me. And you're going to look back 10 years from now, and hopefully you'll recall this message. I remember when Pastor was an old man and preached this message. I hope you hold on to the dream and dream things that I've not dreamed yet, and see things that I cannot see yet, and even things that I see right now that may not ever see the fulfillment of it. I'm going to rejoice with you when you see the fulfillment of it. Can you say amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses number 9, and I may not read the entire list of scriptures, but in verse number 9, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God." We are laborers together with God. You see, we're not building by ourselves. God is helping us. I need you right here, right now. I need you to stay connected with what I'm preaching about today. We're not building by ourselves. We're building by the help and the inspiration and the power of God. For we labor together with God, or we are laborers together with God. You mean that doesn't mean that I'm working with God by myself. We are laborers together. Can I focus on just for a moment not the fact that we are laboring together with God, but let's focus on the fact for a moment that we are laborers together. Let me tell you that there are different talents and abilities in this local church that have the ability to grow the kingdom, but we must make sure that they are complementing one another and not in competition with one another. I will say that again. There are different talents and abilities in this local church that have the ability to grow the kingdom, but we must make sure they are complementing one another and they are not in competition with one another. It's about the kingdom. It's not about my kingdom or your kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we must make sure that we are building upon the only foundation that's going to pass the tests that have come from generations past and tests the church will face in the future. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. That foundation is Jesus Christ. A quote Brother Hundley said at camp meeting, and you can ask Brother Taylor, many of my notes of what I'm sharing with you today was before he started preaching. I even shared it with Taylor because he preached along the same lines of what I'm preaching about right now towards the end of his message. But when he got it into the meat of some of what he said, I showed Taylor my notes that I'd written several minutes prior to him ever getting to this. I said, I just want you to know I wrote this before he preached this. But one of the things that he made mention of, he says, we cannot idolize the past at the expense of the future. I've gone to some churches that they have built shrines to ex-pastors. And listen, I'm not against honoring elders and those that have paved the way. I think God honors us if we honor them. But let me tell you something. If I resign and walk off the scene and I get too old to pastor, don't build a shrine in the church for me. I don't want people idolizing our past at the expense of our future. Hey man, I preached years ago to this church and I still stand on it today. Hey man, our prize is not in our past. Our prize is in our future. God is not finished with this church. Greater days are ahead. Sister April, I told you when you shared it in the tech group I was going to use it. And I'm going to use it now, and I'm going to use it verbatim as she wrote it. In Joshua 1 and 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. In other words, everything I spoke to Moses, every promise, everything I declared to him is going to rest upon you, and I have given that same dream and that same promise to you. In Sister April's words, as a leader, your dedication and impact should be so big that the next generation and generations to come should have access to the promises that God gave you and that area. Let me say that again. As a leader, your dedication and impact should be so big that the next generation and generations to come should have access to the promises that God gave you and that area. Leadership, we better not stake our claim to say, well, this is mine and I hope it gets no bigger than what God has allowed it to be under my direction. If that's the case, I hope God removes you sooner rather than later. Hallelujah. I don't care what area you're in. I don't care what ministry you're in. Your mindset should be, God, when I'm finished, when I walk off the scene, let it keep going and let it expand and let the generation outrun me to the promise. Dear young person in our church, please outpace me. Please reach the lost even when I don't encourage you to. Please study your Bible and pray with fierce fire even if I don't tell you to. Please get a burn from God for the mission field even if I don't recognize it. Please feel the call of God on your life to preach even if I don't notice it. Please start a Bible study with your friends even if I don't encourage you to at first. Please don't wait for me. I want you to win, and I want you to experience more of God than I ever have or that I ever will, because you are the next chapter. You are the plan. You are the mission. Don't wait on me. Outrun me. Outrun me. They just celebrated North American Youth Congress. Some 37,000 people filled Lucas Oil Stadium, in Indianapolis, Indiana. Powerful moves and demonstrations of God. But let me give you the latest report of things confirmed. 1,087 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. 375, and now I think it's over 400, baptized in Jesus' name. 105 confirmed notable miracles. Young people, outrun me. Kids Central, outrun me. Hallelujah. The dream doesn't stop when me and the elders pass on. The dream continues to live and thrive. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. No, just be seated for just a moment. Musicians, come. Amos 9 and 13 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. What, Brother Harmon, what does that mean? Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. This was a prophetic word to Israel that a day would come where the harvest would be so great and so plentiful that the season of harvesting would take so long to bring in that it would last until it was time to break the fields up again. In other words, there was constant harvesting taking place because of the plenteous harvest that was in the field. That when the season of harvesting should have been over, they couldn't stop because the harvest was so great. They had to work beyond the season to be able to get the harvest in. And as they were continuing to harvest the field, it was time to break up the ground again. God, I pray that on this church that you would give us a plenteous harvest. Give us a plenteous harvest. I saw it at NAYC watching some of the live video feeds that while they were singing, people were being baptized in Jesus' name. That as they were preaching, people were being buried in the only saving name of Jesus. I've come to tell you, young people, today, that doesn't have to be an NAYC thing. That can be a Central Church thing. That while we are in pre-service prayer, people are in the altars repenting of their sins. That while the music is going on, we've got somebody designated and the stairs are already pulled out and we're baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. That while the service is going on, people are receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Harmon, that's just NAYC. That's all right. Some of us have got a Joseph size dream and we believe it can happen. Don't be like the one who told the man of God, said, if God could make windows in heaven, I don't know that he could do this. I mean, we've been in the drought so long. We've been in a famine so long. And you're talking about us buying and selling goods in the gate of Samaria. I don't think it can happen. And let's face the reality. We've not prayed through a lot of people lately. We've baptized some and thank God for it, but not nearly enough. And Brother Harmon, you're telling me that you believe you see a day where people can be getting baptized while we're in the worship service? I sure do. You mean to tell me people can receive the Holy Ghost while the preaching's going on? I'm telling you, I see it. It can happen. But I don't want to just see it. I want these kids to see it. And if I die before I ever see the fulfillment of it, I want to put that in the spirit and the heart and in the vision of these kids and these young people that you believe without question, God can do it. God can do it. And it's more than just some fancy preaching to hype you up for a few minutes, but it's really a vision that you have for this church. Can you say amen? Amen. In Joel chapter 2 and verse number 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out my spirit. I believe it can happen in Corinth, Mississippi, in Alcorn County, at 293 County Road 218, and every truth preaching church in North Mississippi. I say it can happen. North Mississippi, we've been barren too long. And I know there's pockets that are seeing people receive the Holy Ghost and baptized, and I rejoice with them. We're not in competition with them. But by and far, Can I tell you what God wants to do for North Mississippi? We have been barren too long. Oh God, give us insight and sight and dreams and visions and courage. Outrun me. Outrun me. Brother Rick, I've heard you mention on several occasions, and you can see it out there. One of these days, it's going to be a new sanctuary. Come up, Brother Rick, if you don't mind. Taylor, I want you to bring Huxley up here. Hallelujah. I've seen Brother Rick say it. Oh, one of these days, we're going to have a new building. The dream of an elder that's been here for a long, long time, almost as long as this church has been here. Brother Rick, I hope you get to see it.
I do too, but if I don't, thank God for it to happen. I'm thanking Him now for it. Just like you said, kids, dream it, believe it. But you know what? Receive the word with gladness. Read your Bible and pray. Seek it for yourself.
Yes.
God is there to be found.
Yes.
All we have to do is just seek Him. It's so easy for us.
I want you to see it, Brother Rick. But you know what? There's a chance that you may not see it.
Amen.
But Brother Rick, what I've heard you say in conversation and the dream that you have and others here like you, I don't want that dream to die when you die. I want that dream to be passed to the next generation that will one day lead this church. Brother Rick, and we're going to pray with you. You're not going to do it by yourself, but Brother Rick, I want you to pray over this boy, Huxley, who represents the generation that one day is to come. I want you to pray your vision in him. I want you to pray your dream into him, that if you don't see it, there'll be somebody that's going to see it. Hallelujah. Brother Rick, would you lay your hand? I want you to pray right now with Brother Rick. The generation that's of Brother Rick's age, I want you to lift your voice. I want you to lift your voice. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray it. Speak it through him, I pray. Speak it through him, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, do it today. God, do it today. God, do it today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't put this together till just now, but Brother Taylor and Brother Brooke, Sister Brooke have been teaching young people about connecting with the older generation. I want our Kids Central and I want our youth. I want you to find somebody that's been in this church or somebody that's at least 55 and older. I want you to go to them right now. Wherever, come on, I want you to get up. Come on, come on, Kids Central, young people. Yeah, don't go to your family. Don't go to your family. Go to somebody else. And even the toddlers that, mom and dad, if you can help them. You know, I don't expect the babies or whatever, but maybe Boone, Jack Henry, Evan. We got so many boys and girls here, Roro, and others. If you can take them to an elder, 55 and older, I'm not there yet. I got a few more months. And you may find more than one person. They may be more than one person. That's fine. Oh, I want you to outrun me. I've been pastoring 18 years here and I haven't seen the things that I want to see just yet. But God
should God remove me off the scene and comes time for me to retire, I don't want it taking the next pastor 18 years to see. I want them to see in 1 year what it took has taken me 18 years to see. Outrun me. Get there before I do. Get there before I do. In Jesus' name. Now listen to me, elder. I want you to lay your hand on that child. Head, shoulders, hold their hand, whatever. I want you to pray for them, right? I want you to pray your hand on this next generation. I want you to impart your dream into them, things that over the years you've seen. You've seen it in faith. It's not come to pass yet, but you know it's going to. Pray it over them right now. Pray it into their spirit right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God, do it. Let there be an impartation of vision. Let there be an impartation of dreams right now. Hallelujah. Come on. Pour yourself into them. Pour yourself into them. Pour yourself into them right now. In Jesus' name. Young people, kids, open up your spirit and receive the vision. Receive the dream that they've dreamed about. Halamakianda. Oh, come on, don't anybody be a spectator this morning. Come on, I need you praying. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give me a vision. Oh, God, give me sight so I can see. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on. Would you lift your voice and pray? Come on. Let's stand all over this house now. Would you lift your voice and pray right now? Come on, young person. Outrun me. Outrun me. Get there before I do. But I just want you to get there. I just want you to get there. Come on, young preacher. I want you to be more fired up about a soul than you are a sermon. I want you to see greater things than I've seen. I want you to walk closer to God than I've walked. I want you to see more conversions than what I've seen. I want you to teach more Bible studies than I've taught. Come on, young preacher. Come on, preacher. Get it in your spirit right now. Get it in your spirit right now. Outrun me. Outrun me. Oh, God, help us as a church that we'll look at the direction that you're going in, that we can properly position ourselves and get before the distractions of life. In the name of Jesus, come on, reach for it. Now, come on, everybody in the house, if you will, I want you to tell the Lord, I receive it right now. I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Come on, I receive it. And that's it. If you elders, if you want to go to one of these kids or young people, I want you to go to them. If they didn't come to you, you feel like you need to go to them, go to them. Come on, if you've got a kid in this house, I'd cradle them in my arms. I'd pray, God, don't let the vision die with me. Don't let the dream die with me. Let me put it in my kids. Let me talk to my kids about it. Let me share my vision to them. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to pray. Holy Ghost right now. Holy Ghost right now.